Hey there, good morning, Harbor, and happy 4th of July. This is definitely one of my favorite holidays. I hope you have an exceptional weekend celebrating with friends, family, whoever you're getting together with, if you have the opportunity to get together. It's going to be great. So I also wanted to say I am super excited, as I know that you are. Many of us have been waiting and praying for this day when Katie was a part of our team here at Harbor. So that's happening this week, as Danielle mentioned. And we would encourage you just to keep praying for our community and the things that we have going on, not only getting her transitioned in, but also the 18th is coming up. We're going to begin services. There's just a lot of very exciting stuff here at Harbor. And so if you're looking for just a time to jump back in or looking for an opportunity to serve, now is as good of time as any. And we're so glad that you're here. So let's get started with our talk this morning. I'm curious, have any of you ever heard the name Brian Regan? It's this guy. Here's a picture of him. There we go. My wife and I have had the opportunity to see this guy. He's a comedian, and we've probably seen him, I don't know, two or three times. He's just kind of a goofy, good, just a funny guy. And he does a lot of sort of physical comedy. And anyway, we just think he's hilarious. So one of the jokes that made me kind of think of our topic today that he did a few years back was he was kind of poking fun at this device that he had seen on TV. It was called Sonic Ear. And Sonic Ear was one of those devices for people who are a little hard of hearing. It kind of straps around your neck, and then you've got like an earpiece, and it amplifies sound. And again, so whether you have challenges hearing conversations, or maybe you have just challenges in I don't know, hearing the TV or in crowded settings, well, the Sonic Ear was for you. And he wasn't making fun of the device. He was kind of making fun or poking fun at the commercial itself, because in this commercial, it shows a woman walking along this pathway, and she kind of passes two other women. And as the lady gets by them, the two that saw this lady go by, they make some comments. At a distance, they say, "She's beautiful. I wish I looked like that." And of course, Brian Regan makes fun of that by saying, "Yeah, get the Sonic Ear and listen to all the wonderful things that people are saying about you, because people invented whispering because they have really nice stuff to say." It's funny, but it's also kind of true, isn't it? So today in our series, The Secret Life of Words, we're talking about gossip. The book of Proverbs says this in chapter 18, "The words of gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. They seep down deep into our soul," is the Hank translation there. To talk about someone, especially if that person has wronged us, it is as tasty as one of our favorite meals, scripture says. Now listen, no one wants to be known as a gossip, yet I think we all do it. I want you just to imagine for a moment. Think about the last dinner party or maybe work setting that you were at. What were the conversations like? Isn't it easy for these kinds of conversations where we're catching up with someone? Isn't it easy for us to just begin talking about someone else? And isn't it even easier for those conversations to turn negative? And if you were the topic of those words, if you somehow got your hands on one of those sonic ears, the sonic ear, wouldn't you be devastated? So why do we gossip? Most experts say it's for one of the following reasons. We might be trying to, number one, knock someone down a peg. Number two, to appear that we're in the know. Or number three, just simply to exact revenge. I don't think we understand, even though it's common, just how damaging that gossip is. I heard a Jewish folktale a few years back about a man in a small town. A man went through the community slandering this small town rabbi. And one day, feeling suddenly remorseful, he begged the rabbi for forgiveness and offered to undergo any penance to make amends. The rabbi told him, that here's what he should do. He should take a feather pillow from his home, cut it open, and then scatter those feathers to the wind. And then, and only then, after that, he should return to the rabbi. The man did as he was told, and then he came to ask the rabbi, "Am I now forgiven?" The rabbi said, "Almost. You just have one more thing to do. Go and gather all the feathers." But the man protested, "That's impossible. The wind has already scattered them." "Precisely," the rabbi answered. "And although you truly wish to correct the evil that you've done, it's impossible to repair the damage done by your words as it is to recover the feathers in the wind." Words do more than just tear down, don't they? Jewish teachings held that cruel words were to commit a kind of murder. It's actually where we get the concept of character assassination. Think about it. A thief that feels remorse can return the money that was stolen. But a person who murders, no matter how much penance they do, it's not going to bring that person that they harmed back. And similarly, a person who damages another's reputation through gossip can never fully undo the damage that they've caused. When it comes to talking about someone while they are not there, I think we need to be as careful as if we were holding a loaded gun. So throughout Scripture, God forbids people from going around and slandering one another. Now, slander is by definition making false statements about people, but there's more to it than that. There are actually three types of speech that the Jewish law says are off limits. You can't do those, okay? In the book that I mentioned last week called Words That Hurt, Words That Heal by Rabbi Telushkin, it's a fantastic little book, by the way. It changed the way that I think about the words that I say. He says the first category is what we'll call gratuitous comments, okay? Unnecessary comments. This type of speech involves talking about the details of another person's life. Now, they can range from anything maybe on the somewhat harmful side. For example, "I heard he's having some trouble in school." Or, "It was a long time ago, but she cheated on her husband. It's great that they're still together." Now, it can range from those kind of somewhat harmful things to not what we would think is harmful at all. You might say, just in catching up with someone, "Yeah, I had a great time at so-and-so's party the other night. No big deal, right? We're just talking about a party that we went to." Well, we might say we went to a party, but it might lead the person that we're talking to wonder why they weren't invited. Or what if they don't like that other person? So it's an easy opportunity for the conversation to turn negative. Have you ever been in a conversation where the other person feels that they need to present their side of the story or to say what they know about the person being discussed? "Yeah, for the most part, I think so-and-so is a really, really great person. There's just one thing that I can't stand about him or her." We've all been in conversations like that. Those conversations are uncomfortable, right? And we probably should stop that person, but we don't typically do that. The kinds of conversations where we talk about others when they're not there, even positive conversations, can go to a negative place, an unhealthy place, really, really quickly. So that's the first type of speech, those gratuitous, those unnecessary comments. For the second type, let's learn some Hebrew. All right, aren't you excited? I know I am. All right, here we go. So here's the second type, and we're going to call it Matzi Shemra. Matzi Shemra. These are lies and rumors. It's what we would typically call slander. They are negative and false. This is the negative and false stuff. Okay, so here's an example. A few years ago, I learned about a story in Chicago. There was this 9-year-old girl, a really sad story, actually, where she had accused a substitute teacher of sexual abuse. Now, here's the thing. It didn't happen. And they found out that it didn't happen, but she was able to convince 10 classmates to claim that it did. Actually, she bribed them each by giving them a dollar. Can you imagine, especially in our world where there are so many stories of children and women being hurt? So many of these stories are true. I'm sure they were ready to lock this guy up and throw away the key. But it didn't take long for them to figure out that this 9-year-old girl was behind a revenge plot. I think we can easily recognize how lies and untrue information, how rumors are just wrong. And after a talk last week about speaking the truth, I would hope that all of us, plus what we know in scripture, I would hope that all of us would stay as far from that as possible. So we're not going to spend much time on that today, but if it's negative and false, if it's Maaseh Shem Ra, it's definitely wrong. Now, the third type of speech that he talks about in this book, the final and most serious type, is called Lashon Hara. And it's all about those stories that are negative and true. We think that because something is true, that it's now fair game to share. A lot of times culturally, as long as it's true, well, then we're not gossiping. 18th century Swiss theologian Johann Lavater, I think I'm saying his name right, offers this guideline about spreading negative but true information. He says, never tell evil of a person if you do not know it for a certainty. And if you know it for a certainty, then you should ask yourself, why should I tell it? Intention has everything to do with why we're prohibited from speaking Lashon Hara. Like maybe you've heard somebody say, hey, did you hear what so-and-so did on Friday? Which is just plain old kind of tattling, what we used to do when we were kids, right? Or maybe you've heard somebody say, let me tell you what really happened, kind of putting our spin on the situation. Or my favorite, what Christians do at times, hey, can you be praying for this person? You know, as long as it's shared in a prayer request. I don't know if you know what's going on, but now that may not sound much, that may not sound like much, but the Jewish law treats this as the worst of all offenses when it comes to speech. Lashon Hara are all those comments that harm, embarrass, cause financial damage, or just lower a person in someone else's eyes. Just because it's the truth doesn't mean that people have the right to know. Just because it's the truth doesn't mean that we have the right to pass that information on. This concept of Lashon Hara was so dangerous that Jewish teachers often discussed what is called the dust of Lashon Hara. It's the stuff that is communicated about someone else without exact words, or even without words at all. Ever been in a conversation and had someone say something like, oh, don't get me started on what I know about her? You didn't say any details, true or otherwise, but you implied it. Or even saying something with just kind of a touch of sarcasm. No, I know he wouldn't do that on purpose. And you don't even say a word in certain situations. Ever been in a conversation and someone will ask something like, do you know what's holding up so-and-so's part of the project? How many times have we just made a face or rolled our eyes? Or get this, even smiling like you know something. We give the impression that we're exercising control. We're somehow taking the moral high ground by not disclosing all the information that we know. No, we're not. We communicated a lot without saying a word. It's all the dust of Lashon Hara. And the reason for this series, the whole reason why we wanted to do it, is we want to be a community who honors the power of words, who builds with what we say, who chooses not to tear down. Ephesians chapter 4, this is the Apostle Paul talking. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Unwholesome talk is a pretty broad category, isn't it? Our goal should not be just to avoid the negative stuff, but to be people that are known for words that build up, that encourage. Now, listen, it doesn't mean that you or I can't give negative feedback to someone. That's actually pretty important. Actually, negative feedback can be really helpful, even though it may be it might be painful for the person who is hearing it. But those words need to be constructive, and it needs to be to that person directly, to their face. And that very same chapter that we just read, it's also where the Apostle Paul urges us to speak the truth in love. Now, if you were here with us last week, we talked about that passage. So this isn't about avoiding what needs to be said. It's about determining if something needs to be said at all and to whom it needs to be said to. Does that make sense? Are we tracking? Okay, so let's talk really, really practical here for a couple of minutes. Let's talk some actual scenarios, okay? So what do we do if we hear gossip about someone else? Well, first of all, we do not pass it on. Don't pass on information about others, even if it's true. If it's untrue, we should gently point out that it isn't true. If you know it to be true, you may just encourage that person to treat the information as if it were about them. But if it's untrue, yeah, I would definitely direct that person to not say it anymore. And also that they should go and get things figured out with the person that they're talking about. And that brings us to kind of the second point. Encourage them to talk with the person that they have an issue with. But what do we do if we hear gossip about us? Well, first, even though this is going to sound really, really difficult to do, I think where we can, of course, we, number one, let it go. Okay. Especially if it's trivial. Okay. Just let it go. We get bent out of shape when we hear something that was said about us, but how many times have we done that to others? So let's be gracious. Let's be forgiving towards others. And if you need to address how someone has been passing along true information about you, or even if it's an outright rumor, bring it up with that person and only them. So Jesus gives the following guidelines in Matthew 18. My guess is that for most of us, we're super familiar with it. So I'm going to read it from the Message, a little bit different of a version. If a fellow believer hurts you, go and tell him or her. Work it out between the two of you. If they listen, you've made a friend. If they won't listen, take one or two others along so that the presence of witnesses will keep things honest, and try again. Matthew 18, 15 and 16. Hopefully, it'll end whatever is being said after you've brought it up with that person. Let's say that they don't listen. Then and only then do you talk to a third party about it. Do you go talk to someone else, but not just for the purpose of venting? That third person may need to go with us to talk to the person that we have an issue with or that has an issue with us. Okay. All right. So here's another question. How much do I tell a best friend or a person that I'm married to? People who are close generally talk to each other about the challenges they have in their life, the issues that maybe they have. Here's an important suggestion, okay? Pick someone who will not go around sharing this kind of information carelessly, okay? Whether we're talking about a friend or even a spouse, that means treat that information very, very carefully. And also pick somebody who has a calming effect on you. If your best friend is someone who says, you should be upset, I'd have punched that person in the face if they'd have said that to me, that's probably the wrong person. I don't know how many people actually say something like that, but if they do, you should probably pick someone else. Also, develop a way of talking about it that feels like it is as kind and as fair as you would want others to be when saying things about you, okay? If you're going to share details with a person that is a spouse, that is a friend, if you're going to get advice from them, again, make sure you are truthful in your speech, gracious in your speech, and wise and careful in those words. I think the whole golden rule thing applies here. So Luke chapter 6, verse 31 says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's a good rule of thumb, right? For pretty much anything in our lives, treat people the way you would like to be treated. But certainly when it comes to speaking about other people, we certainly wouldn't want untrue stuff said about us. And even if it was true, would we want those most embarrassing moments, those things that are not, that don't paint us in such a flattering light? Wouldn't we want those things treated sensitively, quietly, graciously? Absolutely. And if someone steps over the line, we need to give each other permission to say, yeah, that's probably not fair or healthy or a healthy thing to say that about them. So let's not go there. You don't have to be rude, but you may need to stop someone when they're sharing something with you that feels like it is one of these types of speech that are not healthy, that are not helpful. So finally, when is it okay to reveal humiliating or harmful information? And the answer is pretty much this, that that doesn't happen a lot of the time. Okay, we're talking about maybe something that happens 1-3% of the time. But I think the stuff that you find out or that you know, and then you have a responsibility to pass on, is when you feel morally obligated to do so, spiritually obligated to do so. So let's say you know of a friend who is going to invest some money with another person. You might want to say to that person, I don't know all the details, but I do know they have made some risky choices in the past. I think that you should at least check into that matter before you invest money with them. Or let's say that a church is placing someone into a place of spiritual leadership. There might be reason to go to another leader or perhaps an elder. In fact, we have this built into our process of eldership, that those things can be disclosed quietly, discreetly, ultimately to make sure that we're protecting the church, and also it's in the best interest of that individual, okay? But generally speaking, unless there is a specific constructive reason that helps someone avoid getting harmed, we shouldn't pass on negative comments. We just shouldn't do it. Okay, so my all-time favorite story about gossip is about a woman in this small town. And she was a part of a small town church. And she appointed herself this self-appointed supervisor of other people's business. And anytime that anyone appeared to be doing anything wrong, she would start spreading rumors. The power of her gossip was feared all over town. But that changed when she started a rumor about this new member of the church. She was telling others that he had a drinking problem because she saw his van parked outside of a pub. When word got back to him that she was spreading all this malicious stuff, he didn't say anything about it to her. He didn't say anything about her. He just took his car, took his van over and parked it in front of her house, and he left it there all night. Now, that guy understood the power of words. Even though that probably wasn't the best decision in the world, he understood the power of words and the worlds that they create. Harbor, my challenge for all of us this week is to simply become more aware of the words that we speak. We've become so accustomed to speaking about others, sharing information about others. I'm afraid that the warning lights on our dashboards, just like in our cars, right? I'm afraid that they just don't blink anymore. We hold the power of life and death in our words, it says in James. That's the secret life when it comes to words of gossip. And so here's a little bit more to this challenge, okay? It's a little bit of a project. I want us to try to go a whole week where we don't speak about another person if that person isn't present in conversation, okay? Now, there are probably some exceptions. You might be just simply communicating that someone else did something again, but we're not talking about other things that could easily go to that negative place very, very quickly. As much as possible, we're going to refrain from talking about another person if they're not there. And I think you're going to find that this is really, really hard to do. And if the other person is the one who is speaking about someone else, like let's say that we're not talking about a person, but someone else is bringing up a third party, I want to encourage you just to excuse yourself or redirect the conversation, do whatever you have to do to avoid participating in that, okay? And instead, be fully engaged, be fully present with that person that you're with. Find ways to hear what's going on in their life, how you can build them up, encourage them, pray for them. And when we fail, because we will, if you catch yourself in Lashon Hara, Matzei Shemra, or even these gratuitous comments, let's remember that forgiveness is available. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and he is just to forgive them, right? No matter how much you've participated in gossip or defamation, that there is forgiveness and there is grace in Jesus Christ. Let's go without these words that tear down and instead choose words that build up, because our words are powerful. Words create worlds, Harbor. All right, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for our time this morning. We thank you for the words that are given in Scripture that really give us wisdom, that govern the way that we speak. God, I pray that we would choose words that build up, that don't harm, that don't tear down. I pray that we would all be more aware of the power that our words hold. And in those places, God, where we have wronged someone else, we pray for forgiveness. I pray that we would rely on Jesus and the way that he treated others, including in his speech, to guide every word that comes out of our mouths. Father, I also want to lift up Katie and her family this week as they begin their ministry. As I think about Katie and her leadership, God, I pray that you would give her just a vision for what Harbor could be. And I pray that she would lead us well, pastor us well. We're so excited that this day has finally come. We also lift up our church as we moved towards having in-person services. Our outdoor gatherings over the last couple of months, God, they've been so fun, so good to see each other and to worship together. I pray that as we get back to a more normal schedule, we've got a few things, God, that we've got to take care of. We've got to rebuild our teams. We've got to get some details taken care of. Would you give us the energy? Would you give us the wisdom? Would you give us the follow through, God, just to get all of this stuff done so that we can continue to see people find their way back to God through Harbor of Hope and its people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.